Hillary Venice, the general manager of WBAI. We did it. With your help, we made our goal for the Winton membership drive by raising over $1 million. This is the highest amount in years and was done in record time. Your generosity and your concern for the station helped us do this. Thanks to everyone who helped us achieve our goal. Congratulations and many, many thanks for all the great work of the staff, the producers, and the hundreds of dedicated volunteers who came day after day, morning after morning, and made this possible. Your contribution to this historic effort is deeply appreciated as we all work together to rebuild our beloved WBAI and the network. Again, thanks a million.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York, where the time is 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. And I've got the wrong CD in there. How about that? Okay, that's never happened before. There seems to be some sort of technical curse on this place today. This is the right one. It's Off the Hook time.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bones was the best to say the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bones.
Everybody, this is Off the Hook, the weekly program that deals with technological issues, human stupidity, and the future, the darkness ahead, all that kind of thing. Autojack's here.
Hello.
And Seraph, you're here.
Long time no see.
And Jim, how you doing?
I'm alive.
That's good. Sometimes that's all we can hope for, is to be alive, surviving in the madness. And there certainly is a lot of that. We're going to be taking phone calls in just a little bit after we update people on some of the things going on. We'll have a special guest joining us in a moment. And I guess there's some information we have to find out, which we'll do in a minute. We had a lot of fun this past weekend. Some of us went out to the Icon Convention over at Stony Brook. And I have to say, you know, science fiction people are a lot like hackers. You know, they're misunderstood by mainstream society. They're quirky as hell and a lot of fun to hang out with. And I think we all had fun out there, right? Did we not?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay. We teach people things as far as what hacking is all about and what hacking is not all about. And that
I
kind
think
of stuff.
We were fairly successful.
Uh-huh, I hope so. If anyone was out there, please call us and let us know if there was anything we didn't take care of. Richard Solomon was out there as well. He was here last week on this show, and he was out at Stony Brook talking to people about all kinds of interesting things, you know, free software and all that. Splendid time was had by all. And, of course, we've got H2K2 coming up in July, where we'll hopefully do more of the same, maybe on a bigger scale, and a lot of other fun projects that are being worked on for that. And, of course, we've had our technological problems, too, over the past week. Boy, I don't think I've ever seen a week go by where there's been so many connectivity problems, but it was unbelievable. It really was. It all started a week ago, literally a week ago after the show. Where our provider, our provider's provider, basically did something called a null route on us because of some idiot out there. And, you know, this is something I have a problem with because I tell people this. I say some idiot was sending a denial of service attack our way, and they say, oh, you got hacked. Like, no, I did not get hacked. None of us got, this is not about hacking. And invariably, and this music is pretty much matching my emotion right now, invariably, people say that denial of service attacks are a form of hacking. And I have to strangle them at that point and ask, what do you mean it's a form of hacking? Where is the hacking in that? Sending something massive down the line to choke somebody's connection and throw them off the net and deny them the access that they need?
Very dramatic.
Well, it was very annoying, you know? Annoying, dramatic, whatever you want to call it. But it's not hacking. That's not what hacking's all about. I'm sure if Stallman was here, he'd agree with me. I'm sure most hackers out there would agree with this, that just running a program, running a script, that makes you, you know, somebody who knows how to type a command. And I guess to most people, that's what hacking is all about. But I'll tell you, there's a lot more to it. It's experimentation. It's figuring things out. It's doing things for the first time, seeing what happens. Yeah, sometimes you break things along the way because you have to figure things out. But it's never intentional, and it's never something malicious. And I just wish people would get that. You know, that's part of what we tried to get across over the weekend to people. And I think most people get it. Most people understand it. But when you have the mass media out there just constantly reinforcing their stereotype, you know, it's awfully frustrating. For instance, this past weekend, there was a huge demonstration in Washington, D.C., which unfortunately we couldn't go to because we were at ICON, but 100,000 people, I'm told, showed up there. This is what I've heard from indie media. I've heard this from Free Speech Radio News. I've heard this from people I know who were there. And if you watch the mainstream media, you hear nothing. You don't hear anything. It never happened. That's how they are able to define reality, by saying, by not reporting something, they make it so it never happened in the first place. And so you tell people, so did you hear about the demonstration in D.C.? And people are, what demonstration? You know, and of course, there was no violence. If there was violence, then maybe the media would have reported it. Then it would be an unruly mob, and then, of course, it would be a threat. It's something that we all have to constantly keep an eye out for and try and battle in our own various ways. To echo what Jello Biafra said, you have to become the media. You have to be the voice that is not being heard, because at least for now, we have the power to do that over the internet. We are able to get word out, get sound out, get video out even. And it's something I think we have an obligation to do. Yeah, mass media, boy. It's really something, because we're here at 99.5 FM. We're crammed in between the mass media, you know, right in the middle of the commercial band. And it's a very unusual situation. For those of you who may be listening to us over the internet, or maybe listening to us sometime in the future, hello from 2002, it's not a common thing to be on the FM dial in the middle of commercial radio stations. Usually, non-commercial stations such as this one are segregated to below 92, where everybody's got to pretty much fight it out with the religious zealots and the National Public Radio people and everybody else. And it's just, it just gets so hard to get the word out. But here we are, 50,000 watts, the middle of New York City, the middle of the commercial band. And we're doing it. We're getting the word out. And we're listening to other people. It's an important thing. It's something that needs to be duplicated all over the place. I think it's really, really important to become the media and to spread the word and to negate the things that are being said in the mass media, because it's said over and over and over again. For instance, this is an example we gave at ICON. The very image of hackers. This is at one of the panels. Somebody said, none of us have blue hair. None of us have, spiked hair or rollerblades or whatever. Now, where did that become the image of what hackers are? When was that, when did people start to look at us and say, boy, you've got spiked hair and blue hair and all that kind of thing? Well, it was after certain movies came out. It was after certain media reports came out. And basically, when the media comes to our meetings, which we have once a month in various cities, they always look for the people that are dressed funny. They always look for the people with the crazy hair. And they talk to these people. And it doesn't matter what these people say as long as they look cool. Just ask MTV. That's what they do. They go for the people that fit the demographic that they want to reach. The demographic that has been set by the movies and documentaries and things like that aren't based on reality at all, but are reinforced by the mass media when they talk to people that look like the people in the movies. Never mind that there's no real hacking going on. Never mind that there's nothing technical being discussed. It just looks cool. And that's what it's all about. Looking cool. There's a lot more to it, folks. And coming out of this weekend, you realize that people do understand it. And unfortunately, so many in the mass media don't get it. But I think if the people that watch the mass media watch something else for a change, get some alternative views, they will have no trouble understanding. Enough of that. Speaking of films, speaking of videos, our film is finally out. It's finally available. You can get it now on the internet. Freedom Downtime. If you go to our website, www.2600.com, you'll see information about it. And yes, it can now be obtained. It's in video format. The long wait is over. And I know everyone's asking. There's two questions everybody asks, okay? They ask, when is it going to be available on DVD? The answer is, I don't know, okay? It's going to be available sometime on DVD. But we have a lot of other things to worry about right now. And they have to take priority. It's available, okay? So if you want to see it, you know how to operate a VCR, you're in luck. It's out there. And the other question that people ask constantly is, can I show this to other people? Can I put this on the internet? Can I, whatever with it? And of course, we'd be amazing hypocrites if we put out this thing and put the same ridiculous restrictions that the DMCA is trying to put on everything that comes out these days. It's basically a film we made. We treat it the same way as we treat the radio show. We treat it the same way as we treat the magazine. We want the word to get out. We want people to know this. So any way you can help get it out, if you can put it on a local TV station, if you can show it to your class, if you can stream it on the internet, go for it. That's what it's all about. It's about getting the word out. And hopefully enough people will buy the thing so we don't go completely broke in the process. It's a kind of a nice sleeve, and it's good to have an original. But by all means, get the word out. You can, Autojack, what do we have printed on our those things? Do you know offhand?
It says something about how copying and distribution is encouraged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Free copying. Free copying unaltered. Free and unaltered.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so we don't want people to, change it. We don't want people to, sell it, make a profit at it. That's not what it's about. Just about getting the word out. And I'm happy it's finally there, People are clamoring for this kind of thing. Okay, does anybody know what the condition is?
There's a wind condition yesterday.
There's a wind condition yesterday. I know that much. The condition.
Oh, you mean what color?
Yeah, what color? Do you know
what color are we?
Yeah.
I know it hasn't changed, but I don't know what it was.
It was yellow, I think.
It was yellow, but are you sure it
has? As far as I know.
As far as you know. Well, wait a minute.
As of late yesterday.
When did you become the... How did you find out?
Ooh, I was listening to an all-news station, and I don't remember which of the two in New York.
And they give alerts? They give cover alerts?
No, they mentioned it in talking to somebody who was essentially, shall we say, anti-establishmentarianism. And I don't mean Church of England.
Well, that may be fine and good, but I don't know how reliable it is.
Neither do I.
I mean, that's literally
the only mention I've heard of it in weeks.
First of all, you're quoting the mass media, and second of all, they're quoting
somebody
who
has an axe to grind.
Who has an axe to grind, so we don't necessarily know. They might want to throw us into a panic or something. Who knows?
I'm mentioning this because I'm pointing out that this is so under the normal course of human events that's the only place it pops up. I've heard in weeks.
And I'm also a bit distressed, and people around here know this, that if I look around the studio, there is absolutely no mention anywhere on the walls, in the memos, any place of what today's color is or what the color has been. You know, I walk around asking people in the hallway, what is the color? And people look at me like I'm crazy, you know, like they usually do. And it's frustrating because you have to do certain things when the color changes. You know, it could be red for all we know.
Which would entail an entirely different wardrobe.
Covering up our heads with things and... Well, okay. Let's just get this out of the way. All right, so we have to find out
They're going to do the same thing they did last time.
Which is what?
Didn't they just, like, you know...
It was a recording last time. But we knew what the color was last time. That's the difference.
But how did we know what the color was last time?
Because it reported it in... the color kicked off last time. It was the first day of the color, so they said the color was yellow.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
That was the first day that they did that. But many days have gone by since then. All kinds of things have happened.
Yeah, I think it's been like a month.
It's been like a month, and we don't know what the color is now. And for those who don't know, there's... was it five colors or six colors?
I think there's five colors.
Five colors, all right. And those colors are what determine our state of readiness. It's basically the equivalent of DEFCON 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that kind of thing. Seraph, do you know anything about this? It's from the Homeland Defense people.
Yeah.
Are you monitoring them?
Last I heard, the current condition was yellow, which was significant.
Uh-huh. Yellow is significant. Well, do you ever think it's going to be green? I mean, you know, you have no worries. Are they ever going to want to make it a condition where they tell you to take no precautions whatsoever?
I think it's kind of like DEFCON, where it's been four forever, even though five is peace.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, what do they call this? I don't want to make a fool of myself. It's
a defense condition.
A defense condition?
Well, no, that's DEFCON. I think it's the threat level, the current threat level.
Oh, threat condition.
Or threat condition color.
Threat.
All right, let's just get this over with.
The threat level color condition status indicator.
Okay. I'm sure we're all familiar with that number. Okay, but you're not going to be familiar with this number because this is a secret code. All right, here we go. Well, that's not good. How could every line there be busy? That makes me a bit worried. All right, let's try it again. Maybe all my digits weren't heard. How about that?
While you're dialing, I have a question. With this heightened alert for banks in the Northeast, is our color different than the national color?
No, I think this is one color for the whole nation.
Really?
Okay, we're trying again. Oh, this is very frustrating. I don't know what to make of this.
How do we know that people that are listening to us now aren't all calling in right now to find out the same information?
Well, they don't know who we're calling.
Well, they just heard you dial the number.
That's true.
I mean, they could be really fast, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to make of this, but unfortunately, I don't think we can get through. We're trying to call the White House.
But that wasn't a busy. That was a...
That was a fast busy, which means everyone in the world is trying to call the White House. So maybe the threat condition has gone up. You know? When you get a fast busy like that, it's you should be concerned.
Maybe the faster the busy, the higher the threat.
I think we really have to do a public service and have the color permanently displayed because I don't think it's being taken seriously enough. You know, it needs to be taken seriously. All right, we're going to try another phone call to our special guest who was supposed to join us after this, but let's see if we can reach them now. Of course, if we get a fast busy there too, we know the whole phone system is just messed up. Okay, let's try that. There we go. See, that's proof that the system is not messed up at all. And joining us on the phone will be... This is Mackie, is it not?
It is.
Mackie, you're not in the best of shape right now. You're actually in the hospital.
Yeah, I am.
So we're calling to calm down. The hordes of people have been contacting us, wanting to know how you're doing and stuff like that. You had an operation today.
I did. I had a thoracoscopic blebectomy.
Ooh.
Which is a... And right now there's a damn harpist playing right outside my room.
You have a harpist?
Yes.
Wow.
Someone on a harp.
That's something. You have all kinds of support from people, I guess.
It just showed up.
Yeah. And of course...
No, I have to admit, I don't think it's for me.
The flowers have been arriving nonstop, and the cards, the letters, it's just... they really want you out of there fast, I understand.
Yeah, it's something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you had your operation only a few hours ago, correct?
I had it this morning.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'm on, I had it about 7:30 a.m. Pacific.
Uh-huh. So, that's something.
And I'm all doped up on morphine now, which...
You know,
you're
the second person I've talked. There's another famous hacker right now who doesn't want us to mention this on the air. He specifically asked me not to mention it on the air, but I can tell you that if you know of the other famous hacker who was in the hospital today, also had an operation, which is really kind of coincidental. I guess we're just all falling apart or something. Well, he's fine, but he's also on morphine right now. It's an interesting, series of events that are taking place.
They didn't give me the self-administering thing, though, so it's kind of, mm-hmm. I have to keep asking for it.
Well, I was visiting this anonymous hacker, though, in the hospital last night. And interesting thing, we spent most of the time trying to hack the ROM system that's in there. What kind of phone system do you have, by the way?
I think it's some sort of local PBX, just that. Online to get out, well, have it directly.
That sounds like you haven't done much research on it at all, actually.
No, I've I've been focusing on breathing exercises.
Hmm. Well, when you start thinking, past yourself, I guess maybe you'll start hacking the phone system and giving us some information, because that's what it's all about. Now, we got some information last night from this ROM system, but the interesting thing is, and I don't know if you have this where you are, but when you call a patient past a certain time, it doesn't go through. It goes through a recording. It says, patient phone service is only available until 9 o'clock. And then you can't get through at all. And we were trying to figure out a way, because this person, of course, likes to stay up nights. And wanted to get a phone call from somebody. And there was just no way to get past that system that we could figure out. But maybe, in a few days, we'll have something.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I won't be here in a few days.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I probably get to go home tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And yep.
Okay.
They didn't give me a tape either, which I thought was pretty bunk.
A tape?
I had a procedure performed on my lung.
Uh-huh.
And they did it all by video.
Oh, and you wanted a videotape of what they
were doing. Yeah, I wanted to see what was going on inside, on the Discovery Channel.
They inserted a little camera into you, and then they inserted something else, and they just... I understand
cool.
The doctor remained home and was doing this. Is that right? He has a T1 to his house?
No, although they do that on occasion.
Unbelievable.
They have a telemedicine program here. They can perform remote surgeries.
That is something. Well, Mackie, you sound fine. Do you want to stay on the show?
Sure, I'll at least listen. Okay. Better than the harpist.
Yeah, those harpists can really...
Can you hear it?
No, I can't, actually. Actually, I can hear something.
Yeah.
But, we were trying, this is something that might be a bit of concern to everybody. We were trying to reach the White House, and we were unable to. We were just getting fast busy. We wanted to find out what the color condition is today, because nobody seems to know. And maybe you know? Do you have any idea?
Turquoise, I believe.
There is no turquoise. Again, this is an indication of people not taking this seriously. I mean, the color ideas is a beautiful
chartreuse?
Idea.
Chartreuse? Is it chartreuse?
No, that's not a color either. Not. There's only five colors, and they're all basic, army colors. I guess there is a red, white, and a blue. No, there's no blue. There's a green.
There is a blue.
Is there a blue? A condition blue? What are you supposed to do then?
I don't know.
Chill out. No, I think there's an orange. There's a red. There's a yellow. There's a green, and there's one other color.
I should write these down.
Yeah, we should all write these down.
Wait.
Is that AutoJack?
What's this?
Is that AutoJack?
AutoJack is on the other side of the room, yes.
Yeah, how you doing, Mackie?
Hi.
We are going to read a couple of letters and news items, and we're going to take some phone calls from our listeners. Yeah. Mackie joins us from his hospital bed out there in California, where he's had successful surgery. And let's see. Okay, this is interesting, because a lot of people have been writing to us about this. And Mackie, I believe you know a thing or two about this as well. On April 1st, okay, we played a little joke. We had an April Fool's joke. And, you know, we decided to redirect our website to cybercrime.gov. Okay, it's an actual site. It's out there, cybercrime.gov. It's a funny name, a governmental agency devoted to cybercrime, or I guess the prevention of cybercrime. And you wouldn't believe all the letters. We're still getting letters from people saying, this person said, a few weeks ago I checked out 2600.com and instead wound up at some federal government anti-computer crime site. Today I see that 2600.com is back. What was going on? Signed, David. Obviously, he doesn't visit our site very much. Basically, all we did was go into a zone file that we owned on our system and change the IP number to go someplace else other than our website. Very simple. Now, this is what people don't know, that on that very day, at 10 o'clock in the morning, we received a phone call on a cellular phone, or actually a GSM phone, from an FBI agent here in New York, saying that he had heard from Department of Justice. Someone had reported to the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., and they had contacted the FBI in New York, that our website had been redirected to cybercrime.gov, and they wanted to know if they could help. they wanted to help us find the person that did this. Now, the weird thing is that they contacted us so quickly afterwards that it must have been a really big deal that all of a sudden they were getting a massive amount of hits from all of our people instead of, I guess, the tiny amount they usually get. But the other crazy thing is, why did he call me on a cell phone? You know, that means they have our cell phone numbers. Awfully weird.
They called you by your pseudonym.
They called me by Emmanuel, yeah. You know, it's like they were playing the whole game. They
were reading it from your file.
Yeah. Playing the game by our rules. So, you know, it got me thinking that, you know, maybe these people think that this is like some major crime, that simply redirecting a website that we own is something really nasty, and that makes us, you know, guilty of something. So who knows? They might be drawing up paperwork for indictments right now. But it was April 1st. We had a bit of fun. You know, everybody calm down now. And just wait till you see what we do next year. Okay, a lot of people wrote in concerning the payphone situation. Yes, it's true. You can make 25-cent phone calls for 25 cents instead of 50 cents. If you make a local call, you get the recording. You'll notice that it says put in the proper amount of money. It doesn't say put in 50 cents. Doesn't say put in 25 cents. The reason is that some phones have been converted, some phones have not been. So it's quite likely that you can still make 25-cent phone calls locally. It's still very expensive, though, 25 cents or 50 cents, because, you know, you can make a call from your house long distance across the country for like 5 cents. So I don't know. I don't know how they get away with this. What else do we have here? Okay, a lot of people wrote in about the Chicago 2600 incident, which we clarified a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, and are basically verifying this week. It's pretty much one of the things that we said it probably was at the time, without knowing any of the facts. We still managed to get a better story, a more accurate story than what Wired reported. Wired reported that basically somebody, the FBI swooped down and started interrogating people, these are their words, at the 2600 meeting in Chicago. We've talked to a number of people there. No such thing happened. Somebody from the FBI, maybe one or two people, came to the meeting and asked a couple of people if they knew of this person that had said he had come to a meeting at one point. This is a person that had been charged with, I think, stealing cyanide and storing it in the subway system of Chicago. You know, something bizarre like that. Now, that, you know, when that gets into a Wired reporter's hands, that turns into 2600 Magazine being hooked to people, linked to people that, you know, store cyanide in subway systems of various cities. And it was very misleading, and I'm sorry it got out that way. But basically, it's the kind of thing that happens in meetings all the time. All kinds of people show up. It's open to everybody. So if somebody wants to come down and ask a question, they are welcome to do that. But it was not, there was no interrogation, there was no swooping down, and nobody was held against their will. So let's just make that clear. All right.
Also, despite sounding really ominous that he had a cyanide like that, in the subway system, or even in a small room, it wouldn't kill people. It doesn't aerosolize well, and it take a lot in a very small confined space.
I don't know what this person's reasons for having cyanide are. I don't even know much about cyanide. I understand the cyanide in cigarettes, but there might be a legitimate reason. I don't know. But it's got nothing to do with hackers. It's got nothing to do with the Chicago 2600 people. So let's just make that clear so that these silly stories don't... it's another example of mass media basically portraying things in a particular way, and that's how it gets remembered. You know, I just want to make sure people know that it's nonsense. Let's see, what else? This person is asking concerning the conference coming up. I was wondering if there was an age limit to attend H2K2. The answer is no, there is not. You can come as long as you can walk. I think you can get there. Of course, ask your parents first. You don't want to get in trouble when you get back home. But at the same time, there's no discount for 5-year-olds or whoever decides to show up. Same price for everybody. That's basically how it works. Except for Wired reporters, we have a $1,000 surcharge. What else? Robot cameras. Yeah, robot cameras are coming. They will predict crimes before they happen. Scientists at Kingston University in London have developed software able to anticipate if someone is about to mug an old lady or plant a bomb at an airport. It works by examining images coming in from closed-circuit television cameras and comparing them to behavior patterns that have already been programmed into its memory. The software is called Chromatica. It can mathematically work out what is likely to happen next. If it's likely to be a crime, it can send a warning signal to a security guard or a police officer. The system was developed by Dr. Sergio Velastin of Kingston University's Digital Imaging Research Center to improve public transport. By predicting crowd flow, congestion patterns, and potential suicides on the London Underground, the aim was to increase the efficiency and safety of transport systems. The software has already been tested at London's Liverpool Street station, where nothing untoward has been happening. Dr. Velastin explained that not feeling safe was a major reason why some people did not use public transport. In some ways, women and the elderly are effectively excluded from the public transport system, he said. Did you notice that? There's no women and no elderly people on the subways at all.
I've never noticed that.
Well, you just don't... You don't think this way.
Yeah, maybe not.
It's a serious problem. Closed-circuit cameras can help improve security, but they are monitored by humans who can lose concentration or miss things. It is especially difficult for the person watching closed-circuit television to remain vigilant if nothing happens for a long period of time. Our technology excels at carrying out the boring, repetitive tasks and highlighting potential situations that could otherwise go unnoticed. I'd like to have some fun with these cameras, doing all kinds of unpredictable things. You know? I wonder, okay, if anyone is in England and you're near Liverpool Street Station, I don't know if it's still there, but you might have a lot of fun by doing unpredictable things in that particular station. I don't know what would make this thing go berserk or nuts or whatever, but... It's a lot of fun. And cameras and security devices, they're the wave of the future. Speaking of which, police in Holland, get this, they're installing security cameras to monitor their speed cameras. That's right. they're acting after losing a fifth of all speed cameras in the province of Brabant to attacks from vandals and irate drivers. Well, someone's phone is ringing.
It's my neighbor.
Oh, it's your phone.
It's my neighbor.
I thought it was somebody in the room. Okay. They're everywhere. You're not allowed to have cellular phones in hospitals.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's a regular phone.
Yeah, there's another person in the same room.
I thought hospitals were the one place we could still hear the old-fashioned bell, you know?
I do. Well, actually, his phone broke, and they brought another one. Mine has an old-fashioned bell.
Oh, good. Anyway, the new security cameras will be placed high up, looking down on the speed cameras. Speed cameras in the province have had burning tires placed around them, have had lenses sprayed with foam, and been attacked with tools. Those are apparently very successful methods of dealing with cameras. Police spokesman Henk Acten told the Volkskrant newspaper They're also setting up a mobile camera system to keep an eye on speed cameras and deter vandals. Yeah. This person named Mark writes in to tell us that there's a repository of all telephone sounds called Phone Trips located at this website, www.wideweb.com/phonetrips. Wideweb.com/phonetrips. And basically, you can hear all kinds of old phone sounds, all kinds of sounds from the past. You know, crossbar rings, that kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. We're still getting a lot of mail about BBC in America, including the BBC America channel. This person asks if, by visiting bbcamerica.com and finding out that it's available on both DirecTV and Dish Network, does this mean you can actually get the BBC in America? Well, the answer is yes and no. You can get the station known as BBC America, and it has BBC programs, but it also has incredibly annoying commercials every 10 minutes. Because this is America, and we must be flooded with commercials at every opportunity. So imagine those programs without commercials, and that's sort of what BBC is like. It's the best we can get here in this country. In Canada, you can get BBC World, which we've been raving about for weeks, which is a news station without commercials. And unfortunately, there's no way to get that here. Now, Mackie, you have all kinds of interesting satellite
things. There is a BBC radio available.
Yes, that's true, but there's no video.
On satellite.
Yeah, that's true. And also, you can still get that on shortwave as well. But, Mackie, you have an interesting satellite system set up. You want to tell us something about that?
Yeah, let's see. As a bit of a hobby, I got hooked up with a 7.5-foot C-band satellite dish and a couple DirecTV dishes and a KU-band dish, which is hooked up to a digital receiver. So what I've been watching a lot of lately is digital television from the Middle East. And this comes over, it's called Free to Air, and it's unencrypted MPEG-2 coming over, morphing kicks ass, coming over the KU band dish.
That's Mackie's opinion, not the opinion of this radio station.
yeah. And so let's see. So we're watching Al-Manar, which is a Hezbollah-sponsored satellite television network out of Lebanon. You can check them out at Manar, MANARTV.com. And they air just really incredible propaganda, and it's really neat watching it side by side with CNN. And they'll have their newscast in Arabic, and then they'll also have it in English once a day. And interspersed with commentary and things are these montages with music in the background and really dramatic things of people getting shot and atrocities being committed and martyrs marching around and whatnot. There's there's some really bizarre, incredible things on it.
Well, it's
Syrian television with Syrian school children. It looks like there are programs that look like Barney, only it's real 8-year-olds running around with rifles and singing songs about freedom.
No, it's bizarre because it's alien to us in that particular view, I guess.
Well, yeah, and it's just really surreal, too, because it's just such an entirely different culture, or at least the propaganda is. It's so geared towards, they've been fighting wars for decades. And this is what they know, and that's kind of, they show shocking, gory things that they never show on American television, but it's not shocking to them because they see it when they go outside.
Right. Well, our propaganda is a lot more subtle, but it's also, I think, a lot more successful because people believe that we don't have propaganda here.
You know, sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. When I was watching a headline news side by side with it, it really it becomes so much more glaring. The exact same kind of things that CNN does with their montages. Because when I first saw these montages, that's also on on Saudi television and Syrian television, and then you actually, it was so shocking seeing it the first time, and then I started noticing more and more on the 24-hour news networks doing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Only it's just, it's also interesting from a technical standpoint or just from an aesthetics, because they have, modern technology, but a lot of their aesthetics and stuff are like, their tastes are 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So you get music videos from the 80s, and even though they're done on like maybe an Avid or some modern production editing system,
mm-hmm.
they still look like video toaster because that's the taste.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really interesting to watch.
And how do you hook this up?
Well, we have most of the stuff, as I said, most of the good stuff like this is on KU band, which and on Telstar 5 is what most people point to. And so what you need is a medium-sized dish. It's a little bit bigger than say Dish Networks or any of the DSS ones, but it's smaller than the big ones. So it's about, say, a 36-centimeter dish.
Mm-hmm.
Will get you good reception in most parts of the U.S. And people in Europe, this is how it's amazingly popular there. They get almost all their television, or some you can get all your television off of these free-to-air satellite dishes, and it's really taken off over there.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it's mostly just you see them a lot. Immigrants and people use it. No one could understand when I was trying to buy one why I would possibly want this dish.
Yeah, why would you be interested in things from other countries? It doesn't make any sense.
or wild news feeds, for that matter, on the big dish.
Now, what's a wild news feed?
So, when you see an on-location broadcast, so someone reporting from the field,
mm-hmm.
they'll beam it up to a satellite. Most of it actually is encrypted now, but you can still catch them. Sometimes going on C-band or
mm-hmm.
In analog, and you can watch the same. You can watch it as it's being fed to the newsroom.
Uh-huh.
So you see the guy putting on his makeup and getting ready.
Oh, I saw that once.
Starts talking.
No, once it was back in I think 89 when the Berlin Wall was coming down. I remember I was at NBC because they were doing some fluff piece on hackers, and I remember we were watching the monitors and Tom Brokaw was there standing on the Berlin Wall bitching about how much he didn't want to be there. He wanted to be back home.
The thing is,
I wish I had a videotape.
There's actually a couple documentaries. There's one very very good. The name escapes me. Something like Wild Feed or Spin or something. It was
mm-hmm.
coverage of the 92 election in Wild Feed. So they had Larry King Live, and Larry King is sucking up to Bill Clinton, saying if there's anything he can do, on the breaks. And you have Dan Rather talking about how he didn't shampoo his hair last night and wondering if it has more body. And so after that, they got pretty good about turning off microphones,
uh-huh.
but you can still, for people who care, but you can still catch them sometimes. I have some interesting footage of Jesse Jackson,
mm-hmm.
which I haven't decided what to do with.
They did not realize
they were on.
Yeah, well, when people don't realize they're on the air, that's when they say the most interesting things.
And also, President Bush right now, when he gives speeches often, it'll be done completely live, and they turn off his microphone, but he has to wait for all the networks to turn it on. So it was like 8 minutes of him standing blankly at a podium.
Well, you get that even when he's speaking, though.
Yeah,
well, it's true. It is true. I mean, come on, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take phone calls 212-209-2900. I want to quickly read a couple of things, including a question. This person runs a local Linux group and was impressed by the layman-oriented explanation that RMS gave us last week concerning intellectual property versus copyright. I'd like to make a clip containing this audio and make it freely available on my website in MP3 or OGG format. If it is possible to grant permission for this, I would appreciate it. What do you think, folks? Should we grant them permission to do this?
Yeah, definitely.
Really? Wow, that's kind of shocking. Yeah, of course, we grant permission. That's what it's all about, you know, talking about free software and you know, basically being allowed to do what you wish with technology and use it for your own purposes. So, yeah, of course, that's what it's here for. Here's an interesting news item off of Reuters. Global recorded music sales in 2001 fell 5% to $33.7 billion because of a sluggish global economy and increased consumer piracy, the International Federation of the Phonographic Industry said on last Tuesday. Now, it's interesting because the headline, you notice that they're attributing it to the International Federation of the Phonographic Industry, but the headline says global music sales fall hurt by consumer piracy. So it's all consumer piracy's fault that that sales have fallen. And I'm wondering to myself, you know, when Napster was around, it went up. There was more music being sold than ever. And now Napster's not around. Of course, there's still other ways of getting music, but the sales have gone down. And I'm wondering, you know, is that the reason? You know, how do they know it's because of piracy? Maybe people are hearing music and realizing that it sucks and they don't want to buy it. You know, maybe they're just there's other reasons for this. But to actually lay the blame like this, it's you talk about propaganda. This is how propaganda works. You basically take one event and you place the blame on something else, which may or may not be related, and it becomes fact. You know. So that's some of the propaganda we've been hearing, is that piracy is hurting this. And again, you have to define what piracy is. Is listening to something over the net, is that considered piracy? You know, I consider piracy actually, you know, taking someone's work and selling it and, you know, making a profit off of it and depriving them. I've heard instances where some of these people, some of these record industry people have said that typical college students are downloading 3,000 songs a month. Or, no, it's 3,000 a day, actually. I don't know how they're doing this. But, you know, that's probably one of the wildest examples. But do they honestly think that those 3,000 downloads would translate to 3,000 sales? You know, would someone actually go out and buy that much music? If they're actually listening to this music, if they're actually listening to that much music, odds are they're going to like some of it, and odds are they're going to tell the people about it, and odds are somebody's going to buy something at some point that, you know, would not have ordinarily happened. So, yeah, that's propaganda of the week. What else? We have this this story from, which I think is hilarious. Occasionally, you get something that you don't know if it's a joke or if it's someone really believes this kind of nonsense, but this comes from a Christian ministry site called Objective Creation Education Evolutionism Propaganda, and it's by this guy named Dr. Richard Paley. He's a teacher of divinity and theobiology and all kinds of other things. And he goes on a rave, ranting and raving, about various propaganda, evolutionism propaganda. It opens, the subject of evolutionism's use of propaganda to spread its false doctrines is a broad one that would require many pages to deal with in full. That they resort to propaganda is just evidence that they have no honest arguments in favor of their position, etc., etc. He goes on to trash a show on PBS called Evolution, but then he goes into this whole thing on the Apple Macintosh. That's right. This is fascinating. These propagandists aren't just targeting the young. Take, for example, Apple Computers, makers of the popular Macintosh line of computers. The real operating system, hiding under the newest version of the Macintosh operating system, Mac OS X, is called Darwin. That's right. New Macs are based on Darwinism. While they currently don't advertise this fact to consumers, it is well known among the computer elite, who are mostly atheists and pagans. Well, he's got that right. Furthermore, the Darwin OS is released under an open-source license, which is just another name for communism. They try to hide all of this under a facade of shiny, lickable buttons, but the truth has finally come out. Apple computers promote godless Darwinism and communism. But is this really such a shock?
Uh-oh. Guess we lost Mackie.
Or maybe Mackie was removed by some outside force.
Perhaps.
Well, he's going to hate not hearing the rest of it. So we'll try to call Mackie back, because otherwise I have to read it twice, and I don't have to do that. Okay, dial tone. A lot of problems with the phones today. I don't know why. But I think that was a local BAI problem. Okay, we'll get a little magic tone here. Okay, and here we go. It's not going through. Okay, well, unfortunately, we can't spend our time making phone calls, so let's finish the article. Is this really such a shock? Let's look for a moment at Apple Computers. Founded by long-haired hippies, this company has consistently supported 60s countercultural, quote-unquote, values. But there are even darker undertones to this company than most are aware of. Consider the name of the company and its logo, an apple with a bite taken out of it. This is clearly a reference to the fall when Adam and Eve were tempted with an apple by the serpent. It is now Apple Computer. Do you find something funny about this?
Not me. It's him.
All right. Well, Jim, this is not, you know, this is serious, okay? I'm trying to do a serious radio program here, and it's awfully hard when people are doubled over on the floor laughing and pounding the floor with their fists.
I just want to say that my grandfather, who was a Greek Orthodox priest, would be rolling around in his grave if he could hear this.
Well, he can't, unfortunately. No. Not that I know of, but let's finish this and then take a couple of phone calls. It is now Apple Computers offering us temptation, thereby aligning themselves with the forces of darkness. This company is well known for its cult-like following. It isn't much of a stretch to say that it is a cult. Consider co-founder and leader Steve Jobs' constant exhortation through advertising, i.e. mind control, that its followers should think different. We have to ask ourselves, think different than whom or what? The disturbing answer is that they want us to think different than our Christian upbringing, to reject all the values that we have been taught, and to heed not the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Given the now obvious anti-Christian and cultish nature of Apple Computers, is it any wonder that they have decided to base their newest operating system on Darwinism? This just reaffirms the position that Darwinism is an inherently anti-Christian philosophy, spread through propaganda and subliminal trickery. Not a science, as his brainwashed followers would have us believe. And those words of wisdom coming from Christian Ministries, Dr. Richard Paley. And if we find out more about that, we will certainly let you know.
The most disturbing thing is that, by extension, what he's saying is that Bill Gates and Microsoft are the Christian position.
I guess maybe he is. Well, we should ask his position on that. Maybe we can get him on the show, and we can
If we're serious, that would not be a bad idea.
Did they have an email address?
Well, we're not going to give it out over the air, but it's you know, we'll do some research into it. I do want to take some phone calls. It's 8:51. We are running out of time, so let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Hey, good. I've been agonizing over what operating system to go with between Windows and Macintosh, and doggone it. That's the best advertisement for Mac I ever heard. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you. Another heathen off to spread the message of darkness. Good evening. You're on the air. And I guess another one, too. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Last week you were talking about copyright.
That's very observant. Very observant. Should I continue? All right. It's good to have people tell us what we've been talking about. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I came in at the tail end of the discussion regarding dishes and whether how you can purchase a foreign dish to obtain TV satellite.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the person who is the expert on that has been taken from us by the phone gods. If you listen in future weeks, we'll go into more details to exactly how to do that.
Okay.
But
sure.
I believe it was Ku-band was what he was using, and it's possible to get all kinds of interesting things with satellites if you just,
do
a little bit of ingenuity. Yeah. Or you can go the consumer route and, you know, get DirecTV, but you won't get as many interesting things. All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air. Let's try this one. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was at one of those restaurants before, and when I watched the TV, it said, the sound cannot be broadcasted due to copyright regulations, and I immediately thought of you, and I was wondering, how could that be?
Where did this happen?
It was at one of those Applebee restaurants where they have a bar with the TVs.
What were they showing?
They were showing, you know, a baseball game or the stock market or something.
And they said the sound can't be shown because of copyright?
There was a little sign on the bottom that said, due to copyright regulations, the sound cannot be turned up.
Wait a minute, this was a printed sign under the TV?
Printed sign under the TV.
Where was this Applebee's? We're going to go investigate this.
Bayside, Queens.
Bayside, Queens.
Shopping center.
There's an Applebee's in Bayside, Queens?
We learn something new every day.
We're going to stop by. We'll file a report and we'll get back to you on that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, am I on the air?
You're on the air, yes.
Fabulous. First of all, how do you spell that guy Paley's name?
Which guy?
The guy, Dr. Richard Paley.
Did somebody steal it?
P-A-L-E-Y.
Good God.
P-A-L-E-Y.
Who put anything down in this place?
That guy is unbelievable. I mean, that is such a reasoned argument. I never gave it any thought. I knew there was something up with those people. Now, the KU band guy who was in the hospital over there?
Yes.
He was saying, when he took, he said it's a 32-centimeter dish you have to get. Did he have it? And is there any place I can go on the web to learn more about this sort of, if you will,
Well, I would just
real television.
Plug it into a search engine such as Google and just look for a KU band and.
It is KU band television. Is what he's talking about,
right? That's my understanding.
Capital K, capital U, separate word band.
All right, thanks for calling. And I think we've opened up a Pandora's box of people who would be watching all kinds of strange things out there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Emmanuel Goldstein. This is Fear Free reporting on the Homeland Security Advisory System.
Do you know what color it is?
Today's color is yellow.
It is yellow. Okay, well, it's good to have that confirmed.
Elevated.
Elevated.
And if you would like to get your latest information on the Homeland Security Advisory System, go to whitehouse.gov/homeland.
But do they actually tell you the color of the day?
Yes, they have. It's right on the front page. It says, the current nationwide threat level is, ... And they have a picture that's yellow with the word in it that says elevated.
Okay, well, that's...
So it's www.whitehouse.gov/homeland. Not com, gov.
Uh-huh.
Because we all know what .com is.
Well, I mean, that makes it a lot easier, you know, when you just have a place to go where you can find out what the threat condition
there,
is.
And when you click on it, they have very humorous descriptions of what you do in each circumstance. And yes, there is... The colors are green, blue, yellow, orange, and red.
So there is blue.
There is a blue. Okay,
low,
I stand corrected.
Low, guarded, elevated, high, and severe.
Well, thanks so much for updating us. And,
all I can say is you never want to be under severe. Bad things happen.
Yeah, things happen.
But be elevated today, Emmanuel. Elevated.
Okay, I will act in an elevated manner from here on. Okay, thanks so much for that update. And that's going to take us to the end of our show because we're out of time. Sorry we lost Mackie out there, but he's recovering, as is the other hacker out there who was also operated on today. And hopefully everybody else is doing just fine as well. We'll be back again next week. And maybe we'll see people at, is Trenton coming up this week? No, it's next week. Trenton Computer Fair is coming up, not this weekend, but the weekend after that. So maybe some of us will be there. Who knows? Until then, we'll see you next Tuesday. Good night.